message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, is Jesus at the center of your home? How would you answer that question? In fact, what does it mean to have Jesus be the center of your home? We'll answer those questions later on in the sermon. For now, allow me to read you this verse from our Old Testament reading. Joshua writes, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now, we need to understand something about these words of Joshua. Joshua is not talking to unbelievers. Instead, Joshua is talking to believers who have been saved by God. That's surprising. Why would Joshua need to say something like that to believers? Well, simply put, Joshua understands that even though God has saved these people, they can easily be tempted to turn away from the Lord and the salvation that He has given them. Therefore, Joshua warns them that they could easily lose their faith in God if they ignore His word and choose to live as they please. And so they need to daily ask themselves this question: is the Lord at the center of our home? Now, in order to better understand Joshua's words, allow me to briefly explain the historical setting. Simply put, Joshua is the new leader of God's people. Joshua has replaced Moses. And you all remember Moses. God used Moses to lead His people out of slavery in Egypt. And then, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God led the people of Israel to the edge of the promised land. However, before they entered the promised land, Moses speaks to them one last time about blessings and curses. You can read about this actually in the final chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, the book right before the book of Joshua. In the final chapters of Deuteronomy, we find out that God will bless His people if they repent of their sins, trust in His mercy, and strive to live according to His will. But God will curse His people if they cling to their sin, trust in themselves, and live as they please. Moses then goes on to describe the attitude of a person who wants God's blessings, but also wants to live as he pleases. I want you to listen carefully to these words from the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, we read, "Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. Such a person thinks, 'I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way.' The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. His wrath and zeal will burn against that man. All the curses written in this book will fall upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven." Now, those are scary words. We hear God saying that he's not going to forgive somebody. We heard the same thing in our reading from Joshua this morning. Is that really in the Bible? Yes, it is. These words are describing the fate of a person who wants to receive blessings from God while ignoring God and living as he or she pleases. But my friends, this simply can't work. The Bible is clear, such a person cannot be forgiven because God can't forgive a person who refuses to repent of his or her sin. Now, let me clarify something here. forgive sinners. In fact, Scripture is clear that God wants all sinners to repent and be saved. But what God is teaching us is that if people refuse to confess the sin that His Word exposes in their lives, if people refuse to admit that their self-worship and sinful lifestyles are evil, then God can't forgive them because they really don't want to be forgiven. They really don't want to serve the Lord. God can't embrace somebody if they want nothing to do with Him. This helps us better understand the shocking words in our Old Testament reading from Joshua. Listen to these again. You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. Wow. In a culture that's used to hearing warm, fuzzy sermons from Joel Osteen, these words hit us between the eyes. But they're from Scripture. They're God's words. How do we deal with them? I mean, why does Joshua speak so harshly to God's people? Because God knows that by ourselves, we can't serve Him. Without God's help and His nurturing word in our lives, our natural tendency is to manipulate God and go our own way. As Luther says in his catechism when he explains the third article of the Creed about the Holy Spirit, Luther says, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. By ourselves, we simply can't do it. And if we read Scripture and look at the history of this situation, we see how this plays out. You see, these people, with their mouths, they were saying, oh, we believe in God. We're good religious people. But in their hearts, they didn't take God seriously at all. They planned to live as they pleased. And that's exactly what happens. That's why Joshua's warning them. God uses Joshua to warn them that they can't fool the Lord and they dare not mock Him. Now please understand, God is not saying that He won't forgive them even if they do repent of their sin and come to Him for mercy. That's not what He's saying. What He's saying is that He can't forgive them as long as they cling to their sin, mock God, and live as they please. Now, having said all of that, the question for us is, how does all this information apply to us today? Well, think about it. Back then, God's people were surrounded by other people who rejected the word of the Lord and could care less about things spiritual. Sound familiar? We have the same situation in our nation today. Our culture is full of people and ideas that challenge God's word and that tempt us to live as we please and serve false gods of our own making. Oh, sure, we may not serve the idols popular among the ancient Egyptians and Amorites, but we most certainly are tempted to serve various false gods popular today. For instance, such modern-day false gods may take the form of various non-Christian religions that are growing in number in our nation, even right here in Jamestown. It's not uncommon to find someone who claims to be a Christian and yet believes any number of false non-Christian things. We can also find other false gods among various groups that claim to be Christian, and yet they openly deny basic teachings of the Christian faith and reject the authority of Holy Scripture. We may be tempted to worship a false god very popular in America. That false god is, if it feels good, do it. My friends, such a self-centered attitude leads us to worship false gods such as materialism, selfishness, rebellion against authority, sexual immorality, substance abuse, theft, violence against fellow human beings, and the list goes on. You know, in our culture today, many Christians get their ideas about God not from Holy Scripture, but from Oprah and Hollywood. And they end up rejecting the one true God who has revealed Himself to us. I look around our culture and I see young people who have been raised in the church, but then they go off to college and some of them lose their faith because they believe the lies they hear from their fellow students and their unbelieving professors. And then there's adults. Adults who stood up at confirmation and said they would follow the Lord all their days. And now those same adults haven't been to church in years. And some of these same adults are raising children who are nothing more than unbelievers. Think about it. How many generations does it take to have a country full of unbelievers? One. All it takes is adults failing to take their own faith seriously and not passing it on to their children. Joshua knew that that is the danger he faced in his day, and that's exactly what happened. Now, I could go on and on. The fact is that these words of Joshua, written over 3,000 years ago, are totally and completely relevant for our lives today here in America. And so I ask you again, is Jesus at the center of your home? You see, we can't say that we love Jesus and then ignore Him and live as we please. We can't ignore God's Word and then still expect Him to bless us with His mercy. That's why God says to us, choose you this day whom you will serve. Well, so far we've heard the bad news. We've heard that by ourselves we simply can't serve the Lord. Our natural tendency is to go astray. But the good news is this. The good news is that God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. As we sang in that beautiful sermon hymn, great is thy faithfulness. You see, when we read these words from Joshua, it sounds like God is angry and that He hates us. But the truth is, He speaks so harshly to us because He loves us. He uses His words to warn us so that we will flee into His loving arms of mercy. In fact, if you read the New Testament, we have Jesus, who is God in human flesh. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob took on human flesh when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. This same Jesus could also speak some very harsh words, but He only did that because He loved people. And once people were broken, once Jesus woke them up from their deluded fantasies, He then said these words, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Did you hear that? The same Lord who says, choose you this day whom you will serve, this same Lord has chosen to come near to us and serve us by speaking His word to us. As we sang in our opening hymn, God Himself is present. You see, the good news is not only that Jesus died for our sins, and that is awesome good news. The good news is not only that He rose from the dead, that is awesome good news. But the good news is also that He comes to us here and now with His Word to call us to Himself so that He can give us the benefit of His death and resurrection. You see, even though Jesus did die and rise again for us, that salvation does us no good if we're walking away from Him. But the good news is that even though by ourselves we cannot serve the Lord, He chooses to serve us by proclaiming His word to us and calling us to Himself that He might pour His forgiveness and love and life into our hearts. You see, when Jesus says, repent and believe the good news, the Holy Spirit is working through those words to move you to confess your sins and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The good news is that God can and He will forgive you when the Holy Spirit moves you to confess your sin and seek the Lord in humble faith. The good news is that Jesus speaks His Word to you so that He can be the center of your home every day. Jesus died for you. Jesus conquered death for you. Jesus loves you. Therefore, He wants your family to come to Him with all your sin and all your hurts, and know that He will forgive you and heal you, and He will show you how you get to live as His children. In fact, we need to understand something. When Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he wasn't being an arrogant Pharisee. He wasn't suggesting that his family would never sin, nor was he suggesting that his household was able to obey God perfectly. No. In fact, Joshua and his family had their sin issues, believe me. Instead, Joshua understood that in order to serve the Lord, he and his house would need to live in daily repentance and trust in God's Word. They would need to build their home on the rock, on God's Word, so that they would be moved by the Spirit to daily confess their sins and trust in God's mercy and follow His loving plan for their lives. In other words, you and your household cannot serve the Lord unless the Lord is serving you. Let me say that again. You and your household cannot serve the Lord unless the Lord is serving you. And how does the Lord serve you? Through His Word. Do you think it's an accident that you're here today? Do you think it's a coincidence? No, it's not. God has provided this place so that you can come and be nurtured by God's Word, so that you can serve Him and not be led away from Him. God brings you here to serve you with His Word. That's why He also wants you to attend Bible classes when they're offered to you. That's why God wants you to have devotions and prayers with your family during the week. That's why God wants you to read Holy Scripture and pray. He's provided all these gifts for us, and that's what they are. They're gifts. They're gifts we get to receive. This is how the Lord serves you, so that you can have a humble faith that grieves over your sin, so that you can have a faith that clings to Jesus for mercy and love. In fact, just as Joshua was lovingly teaching believers so that they would not fall away from the Lord, in the same way, the Apostle Paul lovingly taught the Ephesian Christians so that they would not fall away, but would instead keep Jesus and His Word at the center of their homes. That's why Paul says what he does in our second reading from Ephesians chapter 6. And by the way, these words are meant for you too. What does he tell us here in our second reading? First, Paul tells Christian children to honor and obey their Christian parents. You see, if children submit to their parents' godly instruction, then they will be blessed with long life, Paul says. Now, by long life, he doesn't mean simply that you're going to live a long time. You may or may not. Instead, by long life, he means quality of life. In other words, if you have Christian parents and you honor their godly instruction and believe in Jesus, then you will have long life. That is, you will have a life filled with the blessing, joy, peace, and love of the Lord. Second, God also addresses fathers. Fathers are called to nurture their children with God's Word. Not too long ago, it was Father's Day. But what we learn here is that the best way a Christian father can love his children is to teach them about the Lord. And so God tells us fathers to nurture our children in God's Word. That means we bring them to services. We make sure they attend Sunday school. And by the way, while they're attending Sunday school, we give them an example by attending Bible class ourselves, so that kids don't grow up with the idea that church is just for kids. Men need to take the lead and show that, no, we need God's Word too. In addition, we fathers will strive to have family devotions and prayer in our homes during the week. That's how we build our homes that we can serve the Lord. And we have resources right here in church to do that. The portals of prayer, the good news magazines. I can even tell you about various books you can use. Come to me. I'll gladly give you suggestions. Now, having said that, please note that Paul is not saying that Christian mothers do not play a very important role. They certainly do. In fact, thank God for the many good things done by Christian mothers. But instead, Paul's point is that the buck stops with us men. We Christian men are called to be the spiritual leaders of the home as fathers and husbands. That is the best way that we can love and serve our families. Now, having said all of that, I'm well aware of the fact that we all fall short of keeping Jesus at the center of our homes. I will confess to you that I, your pastor, fall short of keeping Jesus at the center of my home. We simply don't do that perfectly. But that's exactly why God calls us to confess our sins and trust in Jesus. Even though we are often unfaithful, God is always faithful. He is faithful to forgive those who repent of their sin and who hunger and thirst for His mercy and love. My friends, God does not want us to end up like the many people described in our Old Testament reading. So rather than arrogantly boasting that we will serve the Lord when we don't intend to do that at all, God would rather have us simply be honest. He would rather have us come to Him in humble repentance and say, God, I got a lot of messed up priorities in my life. In fact, God, I can't serve You left to myself. I need You. I can't do it without You. So forgive me. Forgive me and get the priorities in my life straight that I might always remain in Your arms of mercy and love. And my friends, as the Spirit moves us to keep Jesus and His Word at the center of our homes, we will be blessed in more ways than we can imagine. Because the more that we hear God's Word and the more that we focus on Jesus, the more that we will have the desire to turn away from sin and serve the Lord with our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our lives. God has called you here today. It's not a coincidence. He called you here today so that He could serve you with His Word. And through the Word, the Holy Spirit will give you the faith to say, along with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise.